So do we have anybody here that just gets along with everybody? Is there anybody here that just has no enemies whatsoever? You just love everybody, get along with everybody? No? So that means you have enemies. That means you dislike some people, correct? Or no, you get along with everybody, huh? Well, why don't you think about that? Yeah. It's very hard. It's very hard. And maybe perhaps the word enemy might be a little too strong, a little too harsh. Because I mean, if somebody's your enemy, that's like you're trying to create a war, right? Maybe it's not to that extent. But there are surely people that we dislike, or people that we don't get along with, or people that we would prefer not to hang out with, correct? But what do we do, right? Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." How do we do this? How do you love your enemies? Or how do you love people that you don't like or people you dislike? How does that work, right? Well, it says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So it goes a little something like this for many people. This is the usual story that I get. Well, you know, Father, you know, there's this person that I don't like, and I've been praying for this person to change because he or she is a bad person and I need them to change. And how long you've been? I've been praying for 10, 15 years, you know, because they are bad people and they need to change their ways. And I've been praying for them. And I said, okay, and how's that working out for you? Well, I got to pray more because they haven't changed, right? So it's either that way, or some people actually try to, don't you try to reach out? And don't you try to reconcile? You send peace signs or signals and say, you know, are you busy? Let's have lunch today, or, you know, let's get together for this and da-da-da-da. You try to reach out, but then what happens usually? You reach out, but the other party, they reject you. Or sometimes you have good intentions and you want to make peace and you want to reconcile, but things get worse because they kind of misunderstand what you're trying to do. And eventually you kind of give up and you're like, what am I doing here? All right? You try to reconcile, but things get worse. Does that sound familiar to some people? Loving our enemy seems so hard because we think we have to reconcile. We have to make up. We have to become best friends. But do you have to? These things are beyond our control. And actually, you can repeat what I say. Jesus does not demand us to reconcile. He demands forgiveness. But he does not mandate reconciliation. And there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, right? Huge. There's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness is an interior process, something that you kind of have control over, something that you could be liberated, freed from. Forgiveness, to forgive is to kind of set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was actually you. Reconciliation is actually an external process. It takes how many people to tango? Two to tango, right? And it requires both parties, you and the other party, an external process where both of you are open to dialogue and exchange and making up and becoming friends again. That's reconciliation, right? One person can forgive. It takes two to reconcile. Right? And the main difference is that, you know, the person I forgive, right? I can forgive, but I don't really need to be reconciled because the other party, I can forgive, but the other party can be cruel, to mean, or thoughtless, relentless, right? But I can still forgive, right? Forgiveness is one interior, reconciliation is both parties, an exterior process, right? But the key is forgiveness. And being unable to forgive, it's like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Life becomes much easier when you actually learn to accept an apology that you might never get, right? And we need to accept apologies that we might never receive, right? That's forgiveness. And like I said, Jesus mandates us. Jesus asks all of us to forgive, but Jesus does not demand reconciliation. Okay? It's very clear throughout the entire Gospels. How many times do you hear Jesus say, "Oh, I want to be reconciled with you"? How many times do you hear Jesus say, "I forgive you"? Right? Forgiveness is a free gift that Jesus offers to us, but does not demand reconciliation, because reconciliation requires our own action, our own response. Even at the cross, as Jesus is on the cross, he doesn't say, "I want to be reconciled with the world." Instead, what does he say? "Father, Father, what? Forgive them, for they not know what they are doing." Right? Jesus is forgiving. He forgives, but he does not demand reconciliation. Right? And to think that we have to be reconciled with everybody, that's a impossible task. Because why? We don't have control over other people. Even God doesn't have control over other people. It's called free will. Correct? But forgiveness is something that we have control within, an interior process. Right? Jesus demands, asks all of us to forgive, but Jesus does not demand reconciliation. Problem is, we try to seek reconciliation first. And actually, I can give you clear examples of a lot of the movies that are like winning all kinds of awards and doing so well. That's basically, the whole movie is about trying to distinguish between forgiveness and reconciliation. Have you seen the movie? It's kind of like a you know, gory movie. Have you seen the movie called The Revenant? All the ladies like it because it's like Leonardo DiCaprio, you know. But basically, the movie is about Leonardo DiCaprio is out in the wild, you know, back in the old Western days. He's out in the wild, and he gets injured, and as he's recovering, he sees this man kill his son. And the whole movie, the entire movie, is just about him trying to get revenge on this man who killed his son. And yet, towards the end, he finally faces that moment when he's able to kind of do something about it. And he recognizes, I don't have control over anything. All I have control over is forgiving this man, right? And it says, revenge is not in my hands. Revenge is in God's hands. Or you've seen the movie, a famous movie called Ben-Hur. Like, I haven't seen the old version, the original version. You know, I don't know. It's probably better, okay? But there's like a remake of that movie, Ben-Hur. Right? And again, the whole movie is trying to distinguish forgiveness and reconciliation. You have two people, they're not blood brothers, but they're like brothers growing up together. And one of the brothers betrays Judah Ben-Hur, and Judah Ben-Hur is sentenced to death. And yet he kind of finagles his way back to his hometown. And Ben-Hur thinks, he's my brother. We need to reconcile. We need to hang out together. We need to have dinner together. And as they're trying to reconcile, they recognize they have clear differences. And it ends up in a fight, and this whole, the famous fighting scene with the race of chariots. And the movie kind of ends with Judah Ben-Hur thinking, all this time I've been trying to reconcile, all I needed to do was forgive. And he comes to his brother and says, I have nothing else but to forgive you. And that's when the magic occurs. See, we try to seek reconciliation first, but first what we need is an interior process of forgiveness. I've talked about this example, but it kind of recently kind of popped in my head again because we had a retreat, and the couple gave a witness testimony talk at the retreat. I don't know if some of you know the Jaramillo family. They're very active parishioners here in the Hispanic community, and sometimes they go to the English Mass. About 2.5 years ago, their son, Alex, was driving down after work at the 85 and the Camden exit. He took the Camden exit, and this random drunk driver hit him, and he died. You know, think about it. A 19-year-old, so much potential in life, a drunk driver hit him and died. Just fast-forwarding, they found the drunk driver. He was, you know, sent to jail. And they had the court hearing. They had the court hearing and saying, you know, you were sentenced to so many years in jail. And then Dora and Jorge, imagine how you feel. Like, you're looking at the man who killed your son. That's very tough. Not only did they just look at the man, but they said, Your Honor, we'd like to say something. Well, what did he like to say? You know, well, publicly, we'd like to forgive the man who killed our son, is what they said. And it was, I truly believe, it was only that moment when they were able to actually say those words and forgive. They were kind of, I don't know, they felt a sense of peace, a sense of tranquility, right? Their son is lost forever, but to be able to move on somehow, right? And it doesn't matter what is the response of the man who killed their son. The man who killed their son, people are like, I don't care. What do you care? You know? Or I don't care. As soon as I get out, I'm going to kill another one. Or it could be sobbing. It doesn't matter. It's their action of forgiveness, an interior process that has taken place. Huge. And even for me personally, it's making that distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation has helped me tremendously. Just like you have people you don't like, do you think I have people I don't like? As a priest, am I allowed to have people I don't like, or is that not allowed? I don't care. I have people I don't like. All right, you might be one of them right here. Let me just take a look. I'm not gonna say it. All right, but there are definitely people I don't like. You know, and it's tough. You know, like being being a priest. There's whatever I say, whatever I don't say. There's people always say good things. People always say bad things. Right. Good things about random things, complain about random things, right? And I don't know if some of you know, but there's this other priest, because there's two Korean priests in San Jose, me, and there's another priest named Father Joe Kim. He's a little bit taller than me. I'm a little more handsome, but that's what we make the distinction. But for a lot of people, you know, it's hard to distinguish people. They all look Asian. They're all Chinese, you know, basically, right? That's what I hear from the Latino community, right? Oh, it's about the same, you know? So we have this, when we're very good friends, Father Joe and I, we have this mutual agreement. It's a running mutual agreement. So whenever there's something good, we take the credit. Whenever something bad, we give it to the other person. So it goes a little something like, oh, like after Mass, some random person would be like, oh, you know, Father, you know, thank you for doing this, or thank you for giving a talk. I heard your talk at this conference. I'm like, oh, sure. You know, yeah. Yeah, you're welcome, you know? I mean, I don't want to correct the person, right? But if some random person comes and says, and, oh, you know, I don't like the way you do this, and why do you do that, and why did you say this, and da-da-da-da, and I mean, oh, maybe you have it wrong. Maybe you're talking about the other priest, you know? It's Father Joe, right? But, you know, it's hard, right? Because whatever I say or do, some people like it, some people don't like it. Right? It's hard to please everyone. It's impossible to please everyone. Right? But I have to recognize, you know, like, I mean, it just like, do you like it if people talk bad about you? Nobody likes it if people talk bad about you, right? And especially when people talk bad about you when it's false, when it's rumors or gossip, right? That really hurts, right? But what can I do? What can I do? Whatever I say right now, right, you're going to take it the way you want to take it. Do I have any control over that? No way. No way, Jose. All right? I have no control over what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're going to leave this church with. Right? But I have control over forgiveness. Right? And that has been a transformation for me. Right? Do I need to be best friends with all of you? No. Right? I don't need to make up and become best friends with all of you. Right? But I do need to forgive everyone. And that is the key right there, right? Everybody tries to seek reconciliation. It'd be nice if we are reconciled with everybody. It's a feel-good story. But Jesus does not demand that again. Jesus demands forgiveness. So for your homework this week, think of how do I love my enemies? How do I love perhaps the people that I don't like, people that I dislike, people that I don't care for, right? And the key is making the distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation, right? Think about the hurts, think about perhaps some of the broken relationships. And when you make that distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation, recognizing I don't need to become best friends, I don't need to reconcile necessarily. It'd be nice, but step one is forgiveness. And that forgiveness, I have control within. It's an interior process. That's the first step.